Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Well, good morning, patriots, on this beautiful, blustery, cold, unseasonably chilly and stormy Friday. This is the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Good morning to you. Good morning to all of you listeners out there that are gearing up and getting ready for Fired Up Friday.
Yes. Yeah. What happened yesterday? 85 degrees?
I know.
Man.
Wow.
Yeah, we had to run to the store and run a couple errands, and took a couple of hours. So, hey, take the bikes, right?
Yep.
Ripping and tearing all over the place, and 85 degrees, and
I got
hot.
I was sweating in town. It was actually hot with just kind of a light shirt on under my jacket.
Yeah, so. This is really cool. So, man, and then this they said. Well, I started getting these alerts that powerful storm, you know, powerful storm system coming into the area.
Yes, unusual.
Yeah, and they were saying storm. This is an unusual storm, and it is. It's really kind of strange, and you know, it makes you wonder about the weather modification type of you know, if that has anything to do with it, or
right.
You know, why? Because they can modify the weather. They brag about it. There's all these official government U.S.
Yes,
sites.
That's correct. Yeah,
and it's to better. It's, you know, it's to make sure we have the proper amount of moisture content for crops and food production. And
well, and we investigated this while I was a legislative assistant there in Olympia. There was a ton of research that was done on this subject, just to find out, you know, exactly what's written in the laws and what can be done about this. Because, gosh, this was way back in 2016 that I was listening to the 700 Club, and they were doing they were discussing the fact that Putin had, Obama had actually said to Putin that he's using geoengineering against his own people. And Putin said, so are you. And so that right there in that admission proved that they are using geoengineering in each of their own countries, because right. All the nations got together and agreed that they wouldn't use it against each other. It's just too dangerous. But nobody ever stopped anybody from doing it in their own country to their own people.
Right.
And so this is what we were looking into in the legislature. And apparently you can actually pass legislation in your own state saying that you refuse to allow any of the geoengineering to happen over your state.
Right. Yeah.
Of course, nobody has yet. Nobody's really even paid that much attention to what could be done about it.
It is a kind of one of those strange things that falls into the conspiracy theory realm.
Right, right.
Like as if it's not real, as if it's not. They're government programs.
Yeah, exactly. The Air Force, everybody, every single nation uses it.
Right, and there's yeah. Government websites that are dedicated to it.
Yep.
And I don't know if we shouldn't have droughts. We shouldn't have floods. We shouldn't, if we can really do that, why, unless.
Exactly. It should be used for the benefit of people, not to be experimenting on what can be done with it. You know what I mean?
Well, it leads me to believe one of two things. One, they don't have it dialed in, the science of it, and they really can't control it as well as they're hoping to be able to. So they keep working on it. Or they can control it the way that they say the programs are intended to, and they're misusing it. Or it's either incompetence or it's deliberate botching. They're either botching it because of incompetence, or they are deliberately using it to adversely affect crops and weather.
Right, to control different regions economically.
Yeah.
Because if you can affect how an agricultural response happens in a certain region, you can control the economy of all the states within that
right.
region. And so,
if you have a bumper crop of, say, soy or corn or something like that, and prices are flattening off, you can create a massive, highly unusual hailstorm that just annihilates half of your crop just before harvest.
That's right.
To drive prices up. And, you know, of course, that's conspiracy theory. I've never heard of any recordings of a meeting like that where that kind of stuff was discussed. But.
Well, but, you know, in that admission to between Putin and Obama, you know, Obama was saying that he was accusing Putin of using it against his own people. And Putin just said, so are you.
Right. That
and
just
so
kind of shut him right up.
Yeah, that was it. He, you know,
right.
And that's extremely revealing from the very top level of each nation.
So. I just caught this. I was just enthralled by the story, by the account that you were telling. I forgot to I need to make a slight correction here. You're talking about Putin and the 44th president, the previous one who shall not be named.
I had to say the name just for purpose of brevity.
I know that's a lot of bleeping that I got to go back and do now. Bleep bleep beep beep beep.
Right. So. Right. Well, new listeners may not know who that is that you're referring to, so I just want, you know, like I said, brevity. So.
I will accept that excuse this time.
This one time. All right.
But I don't want to get wiffle batted by the listeners who don't want to hear that name.
I know exactly what you mean.
Okay, so the word of the day. We've got a really interesting one today, a good one. So let's hear it.
Yeah, the word of the day is interesting because it comes to us again from Samuel, only this time it's both the remainder of 15, chapter 15, and the first part of 16 into verse 3. And what's so odd about this is I didn't mark it. I didn't leave the page open. I closed my Bible, and so when I had, you know, when I opened to 1 Samuel 15 yesterday, that's just where I turned to. Well, I did it again today to the exact same page with no
randomly. And there's not a bookmark sticking out of it. There's not dog-eared. There's no reason for it to...
It's not squeezed open, you know, to where it's going to just fall naturally back like that. I actually, you know, with my fingernail picked that very same page again. And so that just kind of stands out to me as being, wow, well, that's the first time that's ever happened. And the interesting part is what we were reading was about Samuel basically telling Saul that he is no longer acceptable to the Lord because he's willing to obey people rather than to obey God.
Right.
And so then it starts in where I left off yesterday in 29:30 reads, then he said, I have sinned. This was Saul. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal.
Wow. This is the Agag was the king of the Amalekites?
Yeah. He's the king of the Amalekites.
Right. Okay, that's right.
And I glanced over this yesterday and it did not even stand out. I guess I didn't pay attention. I didn't read that part clearly. About how Samuel, the prophet, hacked that king in pieces before the Lord. And
so
I was a little bit surprised by that. And then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. And so then chapter 16 reads, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you, which is the story of David.
Right. That's how he chose David.
Right. And so a few things are just really amazing in this page. It's no wonder the Lord wanted me to go back and read the rest of this because first of all, I mean, this, the exchange here between the Lord and Samuel is very, it's sweet. It's very interesting that Samuel is telling the Lord, how can I go? Saul will kill me. He's actually talking to the Lord, and the Lord honors the fact that he's saying this. And so the Lord gives him a scenario to help him set up a way to do it.
Gives him an alibi.
Yeah, he gives him an alibi.
He's colluding with him.
Yeah, he sets up this whole scenario so that it works for him, right? And so you would think, I mean, I would have thought, obviously incorrectly,
right,
that the Lord would have just said, do it because I said so, right? You know,
right. How can you dare question me? You have no faith.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But instead, he and Samuel are talking to each other as good friends would.
Right.
You know what I mean? That exchange is very, very interesting.
I've read
to me.
This. Yeah. I've read this several times. There's three. The one of my favorite sections of the Bible has always been Kings, Chronicles, and 1 and 2 Samuel. That whole little section right there that covers, you know, how Saul rose to power. And then Samuel comes along, selects David, and then it goes through the series of kings when the kingdom was united and then when it was divided into Judah and Israel, and how the kings, they would do the right thing and then they would blow it. The next one would blow it.
Right.
And it's back and forth until it led to their captivity because their, you know, relentless rejection or rebelliousness against God. But fascinating section. I do not ever recall where Samuel, the prophet there, was hacked up the king of the Amalekites.
I know, exactly.
That just has gone right over my head. I'd have to read up on the backstory why that was necessary to do that.
Well, two things that I wanted to point out there. The fact that Samuel, he mourned for Saul. And the Lord was like, how long are you going to mourn for Saul?
That was the second thing I was going to key in on.
He's like, that's where I'm saying, like, you know, they're talking to each other like friends would, you know, what are you doing? This guy's no good. He says, I've rejected him from reigning over Israel.
And I keyed in on something a little different there because, first of all, look at how much Samuel, of all people, the prophet, kind of above the fray. He's above the politics of man social stuff, right? He's
right.
Like cut to the chase. Whatever God wants, that's what's going to be done. And he
relented anyway.
Well, yeah. He did, but he also, look at how much he revered King Saul.
Right, right.
And even though he was messing up, he had a powerful respect for him.
Yep.
And also so did David.
Right.
David had the opportunity to kill him.
Yep.
There were several times when he could have done something that could have, given him a victory, including killing Saul. And he says, absolutely not. That's the Lord's chosen.
Right.
He had a special anointing over him, even though he was messing up, that struck fear into even godly men around him, how they perceived Saul.
Right, exactly. That he would even be concerned towards the Lord that Saul will kill me if he finds out I'm going to talk
to
Jesse.
Look how much he missed. How much he mourned over Saul.
Losing Saul, yep.
Not being the king anymore.
That's right. Well, and so the other interesting part is Samuel's reverence for Saul, but he has no qualms whatsoever about it hacking King Agag to pieces. And the Lord had no problem with him doing that either. He did that before the Lord in Gilgal.
Yeah, he didn't get scolded for it.
And the Lord was, you know, perfectly fine with that.
Right.
And so we have there, and I wanted to point this out because our listeners that have been listening since we've been doing this show, they're fully aware of how we used to say, don't make us go Nehemiah on you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because in a joking manner, because Nehemiah in chapter 13, verses 23 through 25, he says that he contended with them and he cursed them and he struck some of them and he pulled out their hair, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a prophet out there being tough, you know, and he's not kidding around. He's right. pulling out their hair. He's hitting them. He's cursing them. And this is all because they're not upholding the law of the Sabbath.
Right.
And so it's real. It just really makes him mad. And so we've made many jokes about that, that we don't make us go Nehemiah. Right.
Right.
Well, so then there's Phinehas of from Numbers 25, verses 7 through 8, who pretty much distinguished himself with his zeal against the heresy in of Peor, right? Where right. he went and he grabs his javelin, and this is such an offense to the Lord that he grabs his javelin and he kills this offending couple. I mean, he just runs it both through with the javelin, and the Lord was so amazed that somebody had the guts to just jump right up and do it with right. such zeal that he stopped all of his wrath that he was going to bring upon those people.
Exactly, which was a part of it was a plague, right?
I'd have to go back and look. I can't remember if it was a plague or if believe you're right. But
because I remember tying that into the other thing was Aaron,
right,
with his staff running in to stop yes. the plague,
and
that
he had
the Lord
already killed.
But I don't know,
70,000 wasn't
or 24,000. I'm getting my instances mixed up. 14,000 people were killed, and over here is 24,000 people that were killed
by a plague that the Lord released.
Yeah, so but still, there were instances where that happened, and
right.
I can't remember the exact numbers. But
so then you have King David who ran into the battle, and you know, what he said was amazing as well. You know, he says, David said to Goliath, he said, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine.
Huh.
And so there, you know,
I'm not seeing really a pattern of passivity.
No.
Around, through all of this. With no. God's people.
Exactly. When God is, when people are treading upon the name of God, when people are offending God and what God has given them, it's kind of like, boy, you better be bold.
Right.
You know, and God upholds that. That seems to be what he has an appreciation for. In fact, the Phinehas case I think exemplifies that very well, that mm-hmm. God was so amazed that somebody would just jump right up and take matters into their own hands and just
right.
take care of it, right? And so I have to wonder, you know, what God is thinking while all of us Americans, all of us Christian patriots, what he's thinking about all of us right now when he's blessed us with this huge nation, this huge, wonderful nation with
right.
all of our freedoms and all of our divinely inspired constitution and all of it, and that we're going to let it go to communists with virtually
without a
battle,
a whimper.
You know, turning tail and running because, well, what if I get arrested? You know?
And look at the, or what if I just get labeled as an extremist?
Right.
You know, what if I lose my job?
Right.
You look at the founding of our country. I mean, we're talking Christians who fought, literally. I mean, not just filed legal lawsuits. I mean, you know, so it's almost like we're just not ready for it. I've been demasculated, emasculated, however you want to put it.
We've been surprised, I think, too. You
well,
know?
We also don't have the same sand that we had even to the turn of the 20th century.
Well,
or the middle of it.
I think that we have the sand. It's just our leader's missing. And
right.
and with a leader that is absent, you know, which is another point. Our president that was legally elected, mm-hmm. he still has the support of the nation. Everybody knows he was the legally elected president. And so, you know, as far as that goes, he could actually, well, we'll get back to that. We wanted to discuss this, actually.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good discussion, because you and I got into a really great discussion about this last night,
right.
In fact. And, I think that'd be really nice. I mean, we've got tons of stuff, headlines type stuff to cover, but let's at least try to squeeze that in, and we'll get to as much as we can.
Let's
and
do.
We'll leave folks with that thought for the weekend. But, well, let's go ahead and take a break. This segment is brought to you by Strategic Self-Defense, helping to give you the home field advantage with customized professional training at your home or your place of business or your vehicles or all of the above, to really scope out the most tactical, advantageous type of plan for the world that you live in on a regular basis. That you already have the home field advantage because you live and operate there, or you know it like the back of your hand. But some professional training can go a long way to getting fully exploiting that home field advantage. So check them out at strategicself-defense.com, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Abe Lincoln here. In 1773, patriots broke the chains of British tyranny by throwing tea into Boston Harbor. On that day, Americans began drinking coffee. We celebrate that event daily here at Minutemen Coffee. All men are created equal. Coffee is not. Minutemen Coffee is roasted to perfection in small batches. www.minutemencoffee.com.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back. Segment two of The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. And segment two is brought to you by Katie Armor, Patriot-owned body armor company. Serious body armor for serious times. These are serious times. Check them out at katiearmor.com. And that's spelled C-A-T-I. If you have a hard time remembering that, just remember, come and take it. Come and take it. C-A-T-I, Katie Armor. .com. Lady Liberty, segment two.
Yes, welcome back, everyone, to Fired Up Friday and this discussion that we're having about different biblical figures and their zeal for upholding the law and for honoring God and just exactly where that led them. And of course, that led us into the discussion about Trump's position, right? Where kind of like we were talking about yesterday with President 11, that he has suddenly declared that he's got the upper hand across the whole world, right? He's positioned enough strategic locations through his Belt and Roads initiative that he's got enough under control that he's now basically going to take the upper hand.
You see the change in their countenance, their confidence.
Yep. And he's aggressive now, and he feels that it's like he's in position to really be at a huge advantage, which he is. And by the same token, we are talking about how Trump is also in that same strategic position, even though he's not, you know, nobody's acknowledging the fact that he was the legally elected president yet, right? Because, you know, that we haven't even seen the end of the audit in Arizona.
Right.
That's just going to be the first domino. But the fact that Trump still has all the same amount of support through all the people, even if he were to say, you know what, even though I'm not in office, hey, how about everybody start doing this or that? He could influence the entire nation that way.
He has a huge amount of sway, at least 80 million, 76 to 80 million voters.
Yep.
Not to mention the people that, you know, support him otherwise, just right. because they don't want communism.
Right.
Even though President Trump may have rubbed some people the wrong way, just like Winston Churchill did, his own party hated him.
Yep.
He was, you know, just rubbed people the wrong way. He was raw. He was like straight up. He was a man born for the time that he was in.
That's right.
Specifically for and exactly what was needed, just like Trump. And this is what we were talking about. There are a lot of patriots that could rise up. Matter of fact, I'm willing. I'm willing to rise up and lead the charge and take our country back. But
that's
the
right.
problem is, it's almost like, William Wallace, you know, in Braveheart.
Right.
He's a warrior. He was able to inspire men to follow him into battle. But the successes were extremely limited. They needed Robert the Bruce. Because
right.
he was the one who everyone recognized should be king.
As the official leader.
Right.
Yeah.
And so everyone recognizes President Trump should be in that office.
Right.
He should be the president. He's the rightful person for that job. There's no William Wallace that's going to kick a bunch of butt on the battlefield and all of a sudden he's going to be elevated to the level of presidency.
Right. That's not going to happen.
Any yeah. one of us warriors out there that could maybe lead some battles and achieve some victories would never be acceptable that we would find ourselves in the position of the presidency. And it's a symbiotic thing. Trump couldn't get out there and lead a bunch of people into battle and, you know, push back the communists and overtake it and become president. He needs the William Wallaces out there on the battlefield.
Right.
They need Robert the Bruce. When we need the patriots in America, the warriors, General Flynn, McInerney, and those kind of guys that can inspire and rally and lead soldiers and troops.
Right.
There's plenty of people, veterans and warriors out there that could be pulled together
him.
Under yep. a single banner if it were organized.
That's right.
And then President Trump,
even if he were to just start suggesting things for people to do, everybody would do it. You know, I mean, all the people that love him, they love Trump. I
yeah.
mean, it's not just they think he's okay or that
I'll
he was a decent
you
president.
If you just leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, you
precisely.
Know what? We're out of time. Gosh, this is a great. We didn't get to half the stuff that we had lined up. But
we'll hit it on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. We'll Sunday, segment four. So, all right, guys, this is a wrap. You have a blessed, safe weekend. Stay warm, stay dry, and we'll see you Monday morning if you don't catch us on the podcast.
That's right. Have a fantastic Fired Up Friday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.